WSCIRO, Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach, Boston, Massachusetts.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Well, thank you, everyone, for coming to my birthday party. Oh, gee, great. You know, I really needed another, a tie.
Oh, yeah. Hey there, Jim. That's no problem. You know, I saw that, and I said to myself, hey, Jim wears shirts and stuff, so I'm thinking, shirts, a tie, it's perfect. A match made in heaven.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Wait, sweetie. Here's one more gift for you.
What is it, honey?
Just open it.
Hey, it's a Bible. I've been wanting one, and it's got my name on it.
This is no ordinary Bible. It's the Personal Promise Bible. It doesn't just have your name on it. It's got your name inside it, too.
Let's see. John 3:16. For God so loved Jim. Wow, this is cool.
Check out Proverbs 18:22.
Wow. When Jim found Linda, he found a good thing. I sure did. Thanks, honey.
The Personal Promise Bible, the most thoughtful gift you could ever find. Call toll-free to get your Personal Promise Bible. 1-866-847-7731. A Bible as unique as you are. Online at personalpromisebible.com.
Hello, good day, everyone. This is Dr. Shirley Caniff of Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. Today is Saturday, April 21st. Can you believe it? We are almost at the end of April. And today on Faith Talks Light Prayer, we're going to do things a little differently. I had the luxury of doing two personal interviews with Teresa Griffith, but because she had a lot of other projects that were stacking up against each other, she was not able to ultimately do the broadcast with me, but she did give me her blessings, and she said that she would honor what we've had so far on her, and she released us to talk more in depth on what she does for ministry with the music and how it brings healing to people. So I did some more research on previous interviews, and I thought it was pretty interesting that she was on Sid Roth some years ago, and basically she said the same thing that we spoke about. We covered the same kind of territory. So I thought, help both Sid Roth's ministry and Teresa Griffith's ministry, we're going to go into an excerpt from that interview, and you'll get firsthand understanding on just how the Lord has used Teresa Griffith, okay? How I first connected with Teresa, basically, on a personal note, on two accounts. The first one being that one of the CDs that Sid Roth speaks about in promoting Teresa's ministry is her CD called Lover of My Soul. At the beginning of our journey of faith, when we established Faith Talks Night Prayer on Blog Talk Radio through our station WSCIRO of New England, we put into our playlist a series of CDs that we thought other people would be blessed, and one of those songs that we put on the initial playlist of Faith Talks Live Prayer music, worship music, was something from Teresa Griffith. So, and that was I just thought it was just so anointed. Every time in intercession, a prophetic intercession, when we would attend regular intercessory prayer at the Northeast Prayer Center at Flame of Fire Ministries, that's when I first heard the songs from her album, Lover of My Soul. And then, within a year ago, we were invited to the Metro West Bridge Church because she had, she was in the area, and she was speaking at the church and also ministering in the music ministry of the flute and the prophetic. And many people were blessed. We were blessed, but we couldn't stay to talk to her. And I knew that the Lord was drawing me to go to speak to her because of her giftings in the area of being able to minister specifically to children and individuals who have been afflicted with autism, Asperger's, ADD, ADHD, and also other areas of trauma that produced physical symptoms, psychological symptoms, emotional symptoms. And so I had Joshua's picture, and I wanted so much to have her pray over the picture, and I wanted to show her the picture where the divine hands of the Lord came out over Joshua. And we weren't able to do that because my husband had to get back to work, and it just was not God's timing. So the Lord showed me that it would be another time, and so the time was the last couple of days, and even prior to the last couple of days, I would say within a month ago, I was just on Facebook, and lo and behold, I see on Facebook in the advertisement section in the news feed something from Teresa's page, and it sparked my interest. It was a reminder that she ministers to children, individuals with autism and Asperger's and AD and ADHD with music. But this time around, she her ministry evolved into actually producing individualized, personalized CDs as she sings songs over the individual. And she would put their pictures and their name on the jacket of the CD cover. So what Dr. Shirley did is I decided I was going to order the CD for Joshua, and one of her ministry staff, a member of her ministry staff, ministry administrative assistant, had connected with me. Her name is Faye. And she was telling me that, usually the way that they produce these CDs is that for the parent that's ordering, or the guardian, or the loved one, or the caretaker, that's ordering these CDs, they want to find out everything about the individual that they're producing the CD for. You know, what do they like? Who are their favorite people? What do they do? And things like that. And so what they would do is they would take all those things, and they would put it into a CD, and they would use that to sing over the individual. And many a times it's had a tremendous healing effect over these individuals who are struggling with these challenges on the pervasive developmental disorder scale. And and I just want to encourage you to just listen very intently and take it to heart about how Teresa's giftings can be a benefit to your loved one. We had for Easter, because the CDs came in on time, and what we did was we prepared an Easter basket for Josh. Josh is 20, but Josh Francis is my son, who has autism, and I spoke to you all about what he's struggling with in previous shows. But anyways, this is for you who have not come to listen to the other Faith Talks I've read. But anyways, I want to get back to the testimony. So we went to to his residence to visit Josh after a long day of visiting other relatives. And we, I thought, well, gee, we're gonna have to do this out real well, because Josh, when he's out of routine and when he doesn't expect you to come, that could throw him off. But we, our intentions were to bring Holy Communion for Easter, for Resurrection Day, and to bring goodies in the form of good, nutritious food, and things that grow from the ground. So we brought, instead of Easter eggs and all that sugar, we brought a whole thing of organic strawberries and organic bananas. And then we shopped, of course, at Whole Foods. And then we went to, and then we got the fun food. I mean, they were all fun for him, but specifically, like organic junk food, if you want to call it that. And it was, Easter egg cookies with natural ingredients and gluten-free. So there were three of them. So we balanced it out, and then we also included the CD of Joshua. So, when we show up, some of the staff are getting a little bit anxious because they're thinking, every time they come at a certain time, when it's at the end of the day, we might not get a peaceful Josh. But they did. They got a peaceful Josh. We prayed with him, and we also played a CD. And as we played the CD, Josh's ears, his eyes lit up. He had a big smile when he heard his name being sung by Teresa's lovely voice. And his ear followed the sound of her voice, the soothing sound of her voice. And then the flute, and then, and it was just, the CD is an hour long, but we only were there for half an hour, so we played 30 minutes of it. And the staff couldn't believe it, because every 5 or 10 minutes he's always up and having to change up and do something different. But this time around, he put his hands together like he was continual prayer. And it was just so happy and calm and peaceful. So I just thought, if this is having an if this is having an effect on him in a positive way, me as a mother, as his guardian, as his legal guardian, because he's over 18, I'm going to have to make sure that the staff knows that this works, and ask them if they can include that as a positive extracurriculum music therapy. And I say that wisely, because he's on an individualized ed plan, like many special needs students have, and you have to be very careful, what to include in there. And so, if we can, somehow get permission for them to even put it on the iPad so he can make the choice to listen to music through his communication box, the dynamic box, this could work. So he's, for the most part, nonverbal. So that is what we're going to do. And of course, he's the star of his CD. And on the CD the name of the CD is called A Song for Joshua Francis. But a lot of the descriptions that describe Joshua and what he likes and his favorite items, his favorite things, his favorite people. That was also in something that I had been writing over a period of time, and it's based on person-centered focus called The Portrait of Joshua. Years ago I established a Joshua connection of people, that Joshua knows and trusts, that also the family of Joshua, our family, at the time was young, that knew our family and knew what the needs were, and there was people on that Joshua connection team represented the school system, community, recreation, medical, and even the social work arena and the educational. arena. And so we would gather from at different times to dream for Joshua to be the eyes, hands, feet, and ears of Joshua, just through observation and our interactions with him. And it really, we really got a better picture of who Joshua is, and this helped us, you know, guide the process of getting Joshua the help that he needs. So now we're in that transition time, and I really believe that, you know, now the time is to build his esteem up. He's about ready to go, you know, to do something beyond 22 with his life. So we have to identify talents and everything, but in order to do that, we have to build him up through the music, and hopefully it would be wonderful if he was healed of being nonverbal for the most part. And I say he's not totally nonverbal, but he, for the most part, he speaks on occasions, but for the most part it's one or two words and then silence for 5 or 6 years, and then he might say something. But at the same time, he has a tremendous understanding, and so we're, you know, we're hoping and praying that this music would make a difference in Joshua's life, and it has just upon playing it once. So we're going to try to see if we can have it played before bedtime, as he can make it into a prayer, and of course times when I bring communion down. And we use that too as part of the communion. And also, they can use that in his quiet time at school. And I know that I'm going to be hearing some good things about this. So I encourage you to go to Teresa's webpage. It's called SomebodyCaresMinistry.org. SomebodyCaresMinistry.org. And you can order the music for your loved one, and I think there's another one specifically for autism, and you'll on that page is live music, and you can actually hear the sounds and the songs of what she does. And I will on this broadcast kind of leave you with a little bit of what a part of the CD that she made for Joshua, so you can hear the arrangement. And I think Teresa's onto something. So support her ministry, and God bless you. Okay, bye-bye.
Teresa, I don't know why it is, but it seems as though when we humans are broken vessels, God uses us more. I'm wondering why he can't use us if we're not broken. It'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it?
It sure seems like it. But, you know, he says that he uses the weak things to confound the wise, and his strength is made perfect in a weakness. And, you know, when we're weak, he is more glorified, because then he gets to show off as the God that he is, you know. And it seems so many times in our Christian lives that we want to have an effort to show that we're okay, or that, you know, we're good, but there is no good in us. So I've found in my life, as I just let go and admit that I'm weak, in fact, my biggest thing that I learned out of all of my suffering was that I am nothing, I know nothing, and I can do nothing, and that is perfect material for him to do the impossible.
And yet I read some of these reviews. For instance, a representative of the National Flute Association once said that you possess techniques that are the best in the world. So how do you deal with that type of compliments?
Well, because of the fact that I was last chair flute in every band I was ever in. And I entered some contests with the Gospel Music Association for vocal, and they said, don't think that you will ever do anything outside of your own local area. So what I did is, in my nothingness, I came before the Lord and offered him myself as a living sacrifice and said, okay, you know, I'm not a good flutist, I'm not a good vocalist, but will you make me that, because I have this desire in my heart that you gave me, so will you show me how then? And I did take lessons to show myself approved as well, but, you know, I had some struggles where I just couldn't seem to figure out how to accomplish the beauty that I was looking for. So the Lord said, yes, I will tell you. And he gave me dreams to tell me how to play the flute. He downloaded to me, because he is the expert flute player in the entire world. He's the best vocalist, and he's the expert in everything, every field in the earth. So we can actually go to him in our nothingness, in our weakness, and say, will you download to me the expertise in this area? And he did. He spoke to me one day in the area of flute and said, do it this way. And I tried. And then I played before this lady with the National Flute Association, and I was practicing a tonguing technique. And she said, do you realize that that's one of the fastest double tonguing techniques in the world? That's faster than Jean-Pierre Rampal and James Galway. And I said, it is? Because Jesus had taught me how to do it.
Now, for those that don't know what I have in my notes in front of me, you had 25 years of some of the worst abuse a human can have through your marriage. Within that time, you had 10 years of chronic illness. You were bedridden many times. I still see this pattern of this brokenness of there's a word people don't like to hear. It's called surrender. It's not part of 21st century American Christianity. But I guess when you come from a background like that, you don't have anything to hold on to.
Right.
Tell me the results of people listening to your music. I know healing rooms are using it. I know hospitals are using it. Why are they using it?
Well, when I was ill, I was bedridden for 5 months at a time. And as I lay there, I prayed and said, Lord, when I get well, I want to go into the studio and produce music that brings relief to people's pain, body, soul, and spirit. Because myself, I needed soothing music, and being a music major, I loved music, but in my weakness, I was so fragile that noise bothered me and music bothered me, but yet I needed something.
Look how the devil attacks
yeah.
what God wants to use.
Right.
Isn't that amazing that here God's so anointed your music, and you could not even listen to music because it would disrupt your physical system.
Right. I just couldn't find anything soothing enough. So I said, Lord, when I get well, and I know you're coming for me, I want to go in the studio and produce music that brings relief to people's pain, body, soul, and spirit. And so that's what happened. He came in 1998 and healed me, and I immediately went into the studio and began to play without music prophetically, saying, Jesus, will you just come and blow through me? And he did, and it was such a goosebumpy experience. It's like it's terrifying at the same time because you have to jump off the cliff not knowing what your first note is, not knowing where the music's going to go. And so I'm in the studio with the pianist and myself. We at least know the key because I have 12 different instruments and they all have a different key. So we know the key, but that's it. So we begin, and he comes in like a rushing mighty wind through my mouth, and I can feel it. And it's like a stream of living water flowing through me, and I get to partake of it as it's coming through. And it's just the highest high I've ever had.
Now, I have listed here various physical conditions that hospitals and healing rooms have found that people have been healed of. Their blood pressure has lowered, their pain has disappeared, and people with insomnia are able to sleep. As a matter of fact, the producer of our radio show started listening to your music at night, and she told me a couple of observations. The first observation is she can't fall asleep when she's listening to something. But she fell asleep when she listened to your music. Not only did she fall asleep, but she had thoughts in areas she hadn't thought of for years that were very helpful. Why did this happen?
Well, like I said, it's the Spirit who is playing his music through me, and his, you know, the anointing is there, and so the Spirit actually speaks to people while they listen to the instrumental music. And they're healed. I mean, even to the point of a lady got up out of a wheelchair. Another lady walked with a walker. She could barely walk. She was running after she listened. I've had several people, I think three now, that have had deafness in an ear, and that's been healed.
There are actually public schools that are playing this for children that are have ADD or autism.
Yes. What happens is there'll be a special education teacher who attends one of my concerts or gets my music, and she decides to use the CDs in her classroom. And since she uses the instrumentals, there are no lyrics to cause the school system to say, well, you can't play that. So the Holy Spirit can get in there and speak to the children and love on them, because my instrumentals are like lullabies from Jesus.
Let's take a listen to what we're offering to. Let's listen from the instrumental called Bliss. Was a selection from Bliss, and it really supernaturally gives you bliss. Teresa, you play 8 different flutes, and is a little scary going into a studio and not having anything prepared and just play what God shows you?
You know, it was for a long time. But I've gotten so used to it, the rush of the breath of the Lord blowing through me is so fabulous. It's such a high that I no longer am afraid. But for a long time, it was a scary thing. But in our concerts, we do the same thing. We do like 2.5 to 3 hour concerts. And we have done what we call the seat of honor, where we invite people to come up and sit in the seat of honor. And then we show them the 12 different instruments that I play and say, which instrument would you like to be blessed with? They pick the instrument of their blessing. We play them a live prophetic song tailor-made for them. And then I sing the interpretation by kneeling at their seat, holding their hand, and an impartation of the Father's love comes through the eyes and in my voice, and people say their lives have been changed and transformed. And
I, you know what I'd like to do today? Teresa, I would like you to prophesy over the air with one of your instruments. Could we do that now?
We sure can.
Mishbucha, I believe that there will be healing that will come forth. Even though it's going to be whatever God wants, I believe the anointing will be so strong that many of you will be physically healed. If you do that now, Teresa.
All right. And this is a Native American flute I'll be using, and it's called the Eagle Flute. All right. And then when I finish playing, I'm going to pick the phone back up and sing the interpretation.
I can't wait.
All right. Here we go. Thank you.
Teresa,
yes.
I heard something Hebraic, something Jewish coming out of that instrument. And when you prophesied and you said, my people, I know that God has those that are grafted in, but I felt you were speaking to Jewish people. I felt that you were prophesying to Jewish people. I could just, in other words, I could hear it in the music.
Yeah, I did too. And I didn't plan it. So as soon as it started coming out of me, I went, wow, that sounds Jewish.
Now, we're going to be offering your instrumental called Bliss, but tell me about Lover of My Soul. We'll offer that one also.
Okay, Lover of My Soul is a love song between the bridegroom and the bride out of the Song of Songs. And I chose a friend of mine because his voice is so tender to be the voice of the bridegroom. And we just did love language back and forth. We just started and went for an hour with the instruments and the singing. And we have had phenomenal testimonies about people when they have listened to it. One lady was just led to the Lord by a friend of mine, and she was Hindu. And my friend played Lover of My Soul for her, and she said, oh, Teresa speaks Hindi. And my friend said, no, she doesn't. And she said, well, she is, because there was a section where I was singing in tongues, and she said, well, she's saying the lover of your soul is coming. He's here. He's here.
Mm. The other thing, the reports I get, is there is such stress in the world. In circumstances, in just being human in life, and it brings a supernatural peace.
Yeah.
Give me one of your favorite testimonies from either a live concert or one of the CDs.
I would have to say, and this will be outside of the Christian testimonies, but this is so exciting because I was doing a concert in Australia. And a psychic came to the concert an hour early and asked permission to be let in because she had heard that my music heals people, and she had a sick baby. And I think the baby was maybe 6 months old. And so they let her in, and she sat on the front row. She said, Teresa must play over my baby. And as I was praying in the back, I said, oh, Lord, please show me what's wrong with the baby. But he didn't. He just said, trust me. So I just always go by what I see, you know, like I see visions during the concert. And so I played over the baby's head and just blew this flute over the baby's head. And then I began to sing in tongues again. And it was such a sweet tongue. It sounded Irish. It was just a beautiful language coming out. And then afterwards, she called me and said, I have to tell you, my son, he had a brain aneurysm and he needed surgery this week, but after you played over him, he was healed, and now he doesn't need surgery. And my husband said to me, oh, wasn't it lovely? She didn't know we were Irish, and she sang a Gaelic blessing over the baby.
Oh, my goodness. Now, did you have a chance to witness to her about the Lord?
I sure did. And so I have an open door to continue with step two when I go back to that area.
You know, a lot of Christians don't understand this. But God heals non-believers as a sign to get them to be saved.
Exactly.
I think it's fascinating when God heals a non-believer.
Well, it says his kindness leads us to repentance. You know, so that's how he draws and he woos. And he also says he knows those that belong to him. So we call her a pre-Christian.
I gotcha. But there is, among Christians, there are so many Christians that have insomnia, that have high blood pressure, that have just a lot of stress. Are you getting many reports of people being set free from just listening to your music?
We are, because they're, my music is used in the healing rooms all over the world, and then also personal use, but so many reports, even tumors disappearing and cancer being healed. You know, like I said, a lady got up out of a wheelchair once, all kinds of different things, three different reports of deafness being healed. So it's very exciting, and it just brings so much joy to me that my pain of my past is being redeemed.
Well, we're going to get into that on tomorrow's broadcast, but I also understand you had a house, you call it my father's house, in which people came to be healed, and many would supernaturally hear music. Did you ever hear that music where no one was playing an instrument?
You know, I did. I heard it like three times before other people reported it, but I didn't understand. I thought there must be someone playing music outside, and I would go outside and it would stop. And so I, you know, with your busy life, sometimes you just don't really think things through. And then I had this young lady come from Australia, and she was ill. She almost died on the trip on the way. But when she got there, she began to hear music every night, and she heard different instruments every night. And then finally, the last night, the 12th night, her parents heard the same music, same instrument she was hearing. And then several nights later, I stayed in the house because I wanted to hear it again, and I did. It was like an orchestra, beautiful. And I thought maybe someone left an alarm clock on a radio station. But then I realized it wasn't that. It was the angels. And so I just stayed still and listened. And after about 5 minutes, it faded out.
Well, you know, I was at a church where I heard the most beautiful shofar blasts. But guess what? No one was blowing the shofar. And they tell me that they've heard that other times in that particular church.
Wow.
But it's why should we think that that's so strange? It's natural in the supernatural realm. Teresa, people see these results, but they don't know what happened to the vessel. You were raised as a Christian. In fact, at a young age, at 16, you were prophesying and preaching, and you married a Christian man, and you were going to live happily ever after, but that's not the way it was written. What happened?
Well, just entered into a time, a quarter of a century, actually, of abuse, and most of it was verbal, but psychological, emotional, and some other areas that I'd rather not say, I guess, right now. And I don't want to, you know, bring pain upon him. I want to be careful to, I want to be his friend. And we were even up to the end, even during the 25 years of abuse, I studied Elijah House Counseling, and I learned that to have a spiritual cleansing maintenance is the only way to survive things like this. And so I would forgive, repent for judging, and send a blessing for everything that was done to bring pain to me. And so even at the end of a quarter of a century, I still was his friend. I still could show love. And we parted in a very beautiful way, to the point that our lawyer had tears in his eyes, and he said, God must be so proud of you.
Now, you really went out of your way not to have a divorce, because it was against your theology, even to the point of taking abuse that no spouse should have to take.
Right.
How did you eventually make that decision to leave him?
Well, I had made a vow that I would never be divorced, because being a woman in ministry is hard enough, but a divorced woman, I felt like the doors would shut for me, and I just wanted to do whatever I could to make it work, but it just, I couldn't do it all by myself. And we went to 10 different counselors, and they all said, you know, this isn't going to work. You know, you need to leave. But I didn't want to listen to them. So the Lord sent prophets to me in a period of about a month's time. I must have had about 5 different prophets come and all spoke into my life things they couldn't possibly know, and said, you're free to go. And I said, but I can't, because I'd made this vow. And finally, I heard the Lord say, would you rather be divorced or dead? Because I'm writing a book about how verbal abuse impairs the immune system, according to Proverbs.
But what was going on with you physically, though? You had chronic fatigue, you had fibromyalgia, you were bedridden. You are a very fragile person.
Yeah, what happens when you live in constant abuse, it's like giving a plant, instead of fertilizer, you give it some kind of poison or acid, you know. So what happens is the organs in the body tighten and they don't do their job. So then you self-poison. And that's what was happening. My blood was toxic, and so I was dying. It was just the organs were shutting down. So when you live in constant stress and you walk on eggshells and you live in a prison where you have no rights, everything tightens up and cannot work properly.
How in the world did you survive this?
Well, I, you know, just leaned on the Lord with all my might. I spent hours in prayer just, you know, crying out to the Lord for deliverance, for strength to make it through. And like I said, the spiritual maintenance that I did of forgiving, repenting for judging, that I was taught with the Elijah House counseling. And then, you know, just hearing his voice and leading me out.
Tell me a bit about your music. Did it just come as a surprise that people were being healed and stress was disappearing from people when you would minister, or did you expect that?
You know, it did come as a surprise. I mean, I had hoped that people would be touched, and that was my prayer, but I was just awed at how far he took it and how each CD, you know, we have 9 CDs, and each one has a different healing function. One is for depression. You know, several are for inner healing, for emotional trauma that we go through. And a lot of the church doesn't understand that we need to be healed from the inside out. They think, you know, that when Jesus comes, all things become new. But if it's under the rug, it's not under the blood, you know. And that's one thing I'd like to say is people think that if you are physically abused, that's something to talk about. But if you are verbally abused, that's no big deal. But actually, it's just the opposite. Verbal and emotional psychological abuse is much more damaging than physical and takes much longer to heal. You know, it's like people who've been through the Holocaust understand post-traumatic stress disorder. They understand the wounds of the past that cause nightmares and that you need to be healed of those wounds and go back and have the Lord touch those areas. But the church, you know, a lot of Christians don't understand that if you've been abused, you need healing for that. And
now, why is it that sometimes music can get through that years of counseling can't?
You know, that is a gift of God, I think, and I don't know why that is, but when people listen to my instrumentals, it all of a sudden, it like softens the heart. People call me a heart massage therapist. It softens the heart and prepares the way for the great physician to do heart surgery. And it breaks down the walls where they've stuffed their issues, you know. So if they stuff emotional issues, it will cause physical disease. So it's got to be dealt with. And so that music softens the heart, the walls come down, and the Holy Spirit can then go in and do heart surgery.
Tell me a testimony that comes to mind from either someone listening to your CD or at a live concert.
At a live concert in Michigan, I had a terrible night at the hotel where people beside me were slamming doors all night and I couldn't sleep, so I prayed all night. And the presence of the Lord was so strong on me that when I began to sing and play at the concert, I fell on the floor, and I've never been slain in the spirit or never fallen, but that's how powerful the anointing was. And I began to sing to a lady. I said, you're going to be given new sight, and the entire church just, I could hear them gasp, and I didn't know why. And I said, you're also going to see yourself in a new way. And I didn't know what I was even saying, but little did I know she had a tumor behind the eye, and it needed surgery, and she was resisting surgery. She wanted God to do it. And that day, the tumor disappeared. She went back to the doctor, and he verified it's gone.
I think we have to hear a little bit from Bliss. This is one of the two CDs we're offering. Teresa, that was from Bliss. We're offering that CD, and we're also offering Lover of My Soul. What is accomplished by people that listen to the CD Lover of My Soul?
You know, I think that as I go all over the world, I see the same thing over and over, that people don't know the extent, the depth, the height, the width of his love. And as they listen, their hearts are melted. They're just, their eyes are opened for the first time, and they experience his love in a deeper dimension than ever before.
Do many people report visions of the Lord when they listen to your music?
I would have to say, of our 9 CDs, Lover of My Soul is the one that has the most reports of supernatural things that happen. Dreams, visions, healings, emotional healings, all kinds of exciting things. Even people who say, I've never had a spiritual experience before.
Why is it that when we go through such trauma and stress, our body, it just like, it shuts down? What happened to you?
Well, you know, it's just like Proverbs says, you know, that the words have the power of life and death. And if you're constantly being fed like a plant instead of fertilizer, you're getting acid. The body will tense, and the organs inside will tense. The immune system will become impaired, and when the organs cannot do their job, you self-poison. And so I had, my blood was highly toxic, and I was dying.
There were at least 3 times you were bedridden. One was for 5 months, and what was the physical diagnosis?
Chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, candida, and just a whole list.
And it affected your brain.
Right.
In what way?
I had trouble understanding English. I had trouble speaking. I had trouble thinking. Like, occasionally my girlfriend would come and get me out of the house and push me with a wheelchair to go shopping. But if I bought anything, I couldn't figure out how to write out my check, so she had to do it.
And now, you could not take loud sounds either.
Correct.
It
was just brutal for me, and even music. But yet I felt that I needed soothing music to comfort me, and I kept, you know, asking friends to lend me worship CDs, and nothing was soothing enough. I was craving harp, but even when someone would give me a harp CD, it was recorded at too fast a beat to bring relief.
Situation. Joshua Francis, Joshua Oh, home.